it's you know, just about you, your life, influences.
It's gonna be interesting. So like, this is gonna be like the first time I've ever chatted about any of this like on record. You know, I've tried to keep this whole thing like just itself and like not me. So like putting a voice on it is like it's a lot for me. Because I try to keep them, like, very separate from my life and then, like, what I make. So I'm ready to roll, but let's do it.
Well, I'm excited for that. Thank you. Already in the corner store, you heard him speak. His name is Utter. He is a really brilliant visual artist, graffiti writer, studio artist, muralist. And I'm excited and honored to have him in the corner store. I will say this, man, one of the producers, Max the Snack Tour, is very disappointed that he cannot be in the building because he's a big fan of your work. And I know that he's excited that we're talking today. But Utter, man, thank you for being in the corner store.
Yeah. Thank you guys for letting me be here.
Of course. I'm excited to get into your story, but we do offer our guests some snacks in the corner store. So I secured you some green tea with ginseng and honey. And then also straight out the corner store, a little Debbie Swiss roll.
I'm going to pass on the Debbie Swiss roll.
Okay, thank fair,
you
yeah.
Green tea. Appreciate you.
No doubt.
Little Debbie's, though. I do fuck with little Debbie.
Okay. yeah, I want to start, actually, before we talk about kind of who you are, where you come from. I'm also a very, really big fan of your work and have noticed you on a little bit of a tear of late in the city, in particular areas. I've been seeing your hand style all around North and Elston and just in really interesting places, along with drawings. But before we talk about style, I guess I'm interested in knowing just who you've been influenced by as an artist to become an artist.
Okay, I'm all over the place, but like, who influences, like, first I have to really start off, like, I'm born and raised in, like, Los Angeles, like, West LA is, like, where I grew up, so, like, LA influence in like style writing besides art, but mainly in graffiti, is because that's like how I got shown into the art world was graffiti. And I really have to just give it to like a lot of like the wild style like painters in Los Angeles, dudes that like passed just wild style, like made something that was like style writing to me. Style writing to me is like so important, and I feel like it's like a dying breed. But people like Dry, KOG, Versus KOG, all the MSKs when they were still doing illegal graffiti. I grew up in Los Angeles seeing these people thriving. When I was a young kid, Auger was one of the hugest influences. Past that, I remember seeing like David Cho illegal work in Los Angeles too.
Special time.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Yeah. One of my like favorites, and I'm so blessed that like I got to be a part of that, you know, and like actually have to see it raw, you know, not on like my phone or like somewhere that I'm like, okay, this is what's happening right now. I can see it on my phone. It was like when I was a youth, like I had no clue what it was. It was just me driving around the city and like seeing all these things. And
and some of that work wasn't just style writing, which is interesting, right? I mean, and it was definitely that, and masters of style. I mean, the MSK crew, you know, I mean, as a crew, you know, maybe undefeated in terms of the letters. But David in particular was also doing shit that was really out
the box.
Yeah. And when it comes to like style writing, that's like the biggest like push of like what inspired me. But like bringing it back to everything, it goes back to like chicken scrawls, you know, on like fences and like, you know, certain type of areas that you couldn't be in, but you could like understand the fence tags and be like, okay, like this is a bad neighborhood, or like, oh, look at that, there's a bunch of like kids tagging on stuff, that looks fun. But then you look at other neighborhoods and it's just straight gangbanger shit, and you're like, okay. And like understanding a city through like the actual streets and the walls was like the biggest influence in the beginning, and like trying to really figure that out, because like everything else to me was like played out. It was like written in books. I could look it up at the library. This is like before the internet too, but like your favorite all-star rapper, basketball player, anyone, you know, you could go and figure out who they were because everyone was about like, oh, look at what I came from to be this. And graffiti was just so important because it was a step away from that. And it was just like, look at the fuck we're doing. when everyone's telling us not to do it, but look at what we're doing. And just seeing so many colors and interaction and things that I was like, you how did they get there? All that, you know, common things that you hear about graffiti. But being a youth in Los Angeles in the early 90s, it was the only like real truth, because everything else was just like, oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. You could do it like that. And if you don't do it like that, you're going to not do it, you know? And graffiti was just like, what the fuck is happening? You know, like, everyone says I'm not supposed to do this, but like, look at what they're fucking doing, you know? Like, I think that was the biggest inspiration to like do what I'm doing nowadays.
Well, when did you start picking up tools then to make?
I've like always been forced to make shit. Like, ever since I was a little kid, I've always like drawn. My parents were always just like putting me in like little art competitions and random shit. And I never really cared. It was just something that I could do and then get like affection for. Like, oh, look at that. Like, he did good. And I'd be like, oh. And I didn't never really cared about it. Like, step back a little bit. Like, my dad's like a gnarly biker, and then my mom's like a hippie. So, like, I get both.
What kind of biker? Like a
motorcycle? Yeah, Harley Davidson's, fucking big old beard, leather jacket, you know, like grizzly motherfucker. And then my mom's like this sweet little like lady that like grew up in like downtown Los Angeles, and then was like, I don't like this, I'm gonna like go and be a part of like nature, you know? So like I got both of both worlds. And being a part of like the art thing when I was a kid was like cool, but it was just like, oh, you guys, like, this is what you think that I like doing. But like, I like getting dirty and breaking shit, like messing around, you know? And like forever it was just like, okay, I'm doing art. And then when I like actually figured out this like underground world, but like this world that's like existing on the same battlefield that we're at, but like no one talks about, no one knows about.
Yeah, no, it's a subculture for sure.
Oh, 100% subculture. You know, I'm like, to see that as like a kid though and not understand what even subcultures are, you know, but then it's like so relevant, you know, because it's like everywhere I go, there's graffiti. From the suburbs to all the way to downtown, there's someone scrawling on something that's not theirs.
How did you first get involved then? Because to go from that point, to recognize it, then to have somebody or some place to unlock that world for you is revelatory as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. It was this kid named Because. Because he was a part of DAS crew. I don't even know. This is LA stuff. Like, DAS all the way, like, super gangster. But, Because was just like, he saw my art and was just like, I remember I was a part of, I like always getting put in art programs but fucking hating it, you know, and getting in trouble and like being a class clown, like not trying to do anything that was like I was told to do. And one of my like awesome teachers that was like my ceramics teacher was kind of just like, yo, like, I know you don't like authority, but you're like, you can make stuff. So, like, just be in this class and make stuff.
That's
great. Know?
That's a great, I'll give that's you a great pedagogy, man. That's a great teacher. Yeah.
Amazing. You know, yeah. And I look back to her so much. There's, like, two teachers in my life that, like, will always ring a bell. And, like, she's one of them. And then when I was still a bad boy, I got kicked out of that school and I couldn't do anything. And I got caught doing graffiti. I, like, tagged a little, like, fence post, you know?
And that's what you got kicked out for?
Oh, yeah. And then I got tackled by, like, two crazy football, like, coaches. It was at school, which was really stupid, and, like, I was, like, all stone, like, young kid smoking weed when it's just, like, oh, it's a whole different world.
And they tackled you.
Oh, dude, they tackled me and treated me like I was the biggest criminal ever, you know, literally just because I, like, wrote my name. And, the marker I had at the time, too, was probably, like, you could wipe it off, you know? It wasn't even, like, permanent or anything. It was just me being, like, oh, I'm out of school, like, I'm going to express myself, or, like, I think this is really cool, so I'm going to do this. People at school are going to see this. And I got tackled, and this was when I was, like, 16, and then I got thrown in the whole, like, court juvenile system and, like, in and out of all that just for, like, drawing or something.
Yeah, right.
And it kind of, like, it hardened me a little bit, but when I was thrown into that system, they kicked me out of school, and they put me in a continuation school. My continuation school was probably about like 40 kids, not even. And our cafeteria was a lunch truck that would come around noon and park in the parking lot. And it was just like, all these kids, we don't fucking care about them. You know, like, we don't want them a part of anything that we're doing. So, like, we're going to push them off to like this bad lot where like no one cares. And That was when it got all bad. You know, like, I was in there for graffiti and they put me on a drug program because I told them that I saw letters in the clouds. So they thought,
wow.
Yeah. They're like, why do you do this? And I'm like, I see letters in everything. Like, if you look up in the sky, you can see letters. Like, I was so obsessed. This is when I was like.
So they diagnosed you with a drug problem.
Automatically. Because I was just like, I wasn't like being like, oh, this is a bad thing. Like, you know, like, I shouldn't have done that. I was like, no, I have to do this. Like, this is.
Do you still see letters in the clouds?
Oh,
letters
like everything. I think that's like the only truth that I like have. The only real language is like through art nowadays.
Yeah.
I get in fights with my partner all the time because I'm like just speaking my mind. And she's just like, what the fuck? Why'd you say that? I was just like, I have no filter. I'm sorry. Like, I just, all this is made by slaves and people died here and it's terrible. And like, oh, it's all bad. And she's just like, shut the fuck up. But I'm just like, okay. I have to take a break because like I dive into things really deep.
Yeah,
probably like this conversation.
Yeah, no, but that's I guess that is a telltale sign of the artist, that investment in an idea, the, you know, integrity to dig into an idea and just be obsessed really
with something,
you know, until you want to put it down, I guess, and maybe you never put it down.
And like the city is like so, I don't even know, like, if the word enchanting or, like, mystic or, like, there's so much more that's, like, on these city blocks than, you know, what we wear and what our suits are every day. You know, yes. It's like, oh, we're out there being like, yeah, we're living our lives and look at us. Oh, like, I don't like your clothes, so I'm going to judge you or whatever. But, like, the city talks because, like, there's so much embedded into this city, like, with just all the mason work and architecture and everything else that, like, will always sit here. And,
No, agreed. I mean, as a poet, I love the city because I love all the voices, all the sounds, all the colors, all the smells that you get by just walking around or in fact, just being stationary. You know, I love pulling up somewhere, sitting down and watching, you know, the myriad of different kinds of people pass. And to me, like, that's a visual poem that I'm
able to witness. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that, man.
Yeah. But so I think artists kind of share that collectively, some deep desire and investment in the world, you know?
Yeah, like anywhere I go out here now too, especially because I feel like I'm trapped in the Matrix, especially downtown, because like I can do like throwies daytime on the street and like wave at people and like no one will do anything because they're just like on their phones and like care like too much about this person next to them and like all this weird shit that like adds up. So it's just like, oh, like in this battlefield and this playing ground, like you guys are kind of all trapped in the Matrix. So like, it's interesting for me to like, be like, okay, I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm going to like set that aside and I'm just going to whip out a sketchbook. And if I'm in a bar, I'm at like, I'm on the train, I'm anywhere. It's just kind of like, I'm just going to like sketch these people right now. And, it's something that's really cool about this city is that like no one really knows because like they're so caught up in their own selves. So like you actually get like genuine like kind of characters of people. And through that though, it's like the city, people, buildings, everything. It's just super like, cool, cool, cool. Like so much inspiration. So it's like anxiety walking through downtown because it's just like, stop doing this. Like I just stop looking at your phone. Like why are these buildings like this? Like I just need to draw stuff. Like I don't know. I get like really caught up sometimes because it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
When at what point, so you were in the juvenile system, at what point, because part of what you were saying is that you also have the discipline to create, which not everyone has. I think that's kind of what makes an artist, and it certainly makes an artist have some longevity in the form, is that discipline. When did you start to take yourself seriously as an artist?
Oh, man, I don't even know if I'm taking myself seriously as an artist
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's part of the wisdom.
You know? That's the hardest part is, like, I guess people think my shit's cool, but, like, when people think they're cool, I hate you.
Well, yeah. Your stuff is also hilarious and whimsical. I mean, it is from a craft level, you know, you have an expertise, but you could tell that you also have fun in the work that you make.
That's like the only like real point about any of it is like staying and having fun, like legally, illegally, no matter what. Like I need to express that because like I've wasted so much time doing this. So like if I'm not having fun through it, then it's not really worth it, I think.
So once you got out of that juvenile system.
Yeah, it was in and out, like past juvie. It was like I like went to jail. I was like in jail for like months in Twin Towers, Los Angeles,
for writing.
All these things. Yeah, all for writing.
All for writing.
Like all just adding a millimeter surface to another surface. Like,
what is that like as a writer inside? Like, what is the treatment that you get by being in art? You know, because there's people are there for multiple different reasons. And
totally, I can't really speak for everyone because everyone deals with stuff differently. But like, when I was in there, it was something that, like, everyone in the beginning is like, oh, what? Like, that's not a real crime. Fuck you, dog. Da-da-da-da-da. But, like, through time, you can, like, use it because it's like everyone needs, like, a card sent home to their baby mama or, like, a thank you or, like, they want pictures. So, like, just trading, like, soups and, like, cantina and that's, like, food and things for, like, sketches. And, like, little, I'm drawing, I don't even know how many Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouses, like, kissing each other I would draw, you know, and, like, just trading, like, my, you know, trade for another thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it taught me a lot in the sense that, like, okay, I'm trapped. I'm a fucking felon, first of all. You're going to tell me that I'm never going to be able to succeed because I'm a felon, but, like, even in the worst place ever, I can, like, figure out how to make my craft, you know, something that I can use for my advantage. And it's hard to get a real job. It's hard to even get an apartment, you know, because of my past. But, like, through all of it, I've made connections, friendships, and been able to, like, continue to, like, travel and all these things. So, like, when it really breaks down to, like, a side, it's like, I don't know. Thank you, guys, you know?
I faced with all of that. There are a lot of writers I know even mm-hmm. who make a very understandable decision to stop. Because of that, graffiti is so criminalized in Chicago, around the country.
Everywhere.
You've obviously made the decision to continue. What, you know, I guess, is it the love, the passion for the work that makes you continue?
This is like the heaviest thing is like, there's so many things that get into it, like past my going back to my dad as a biker and having the rebel in my heart. Also, not being able to, like, really compare myself to these other people living in a city in anxiety. It's like a push to just be like, this isn't what has to happen, you know? Like, you can literally do whatever the fuck you want and you don't have to be trapped. But the illegal thing for me that I keep is past rebellion and, like, doing it, it's just like a, yeah, like, I need to last, you know, like I'm here right now. I want people to see one of my tags and in their head have an encyclopedia of my work just to be like, wow, like this guy, no matter where he's at, he's still doing what like he started doing for this, you know, like, I don't know, catching tags on things that isn't hurting people, I think is one of the most important things ever. You know,
well, so I mean, people have done it forever.
Yeah,
right. This is like one of the most ancient of all art forms, and two, it also is a way to beautify your everyday. It's a surprise,
and then also fuck it up, dude. Like this shit's gross, dude. Like yeah. I'm supposed to live in this concrete jungle that's like a gray wall, or in Chicago, it's a brown wall. Like I don't like. Ooh, when it really breaks down to it, no matter what, like, okay, like, we live in a society that is literally just colors and things that we're supposed to see. Like, this is the route we're supposed to go. This is this place we're supposed to be. And graffiti, to me, is so important because it sparks emotion in an emotionless society. No matter if it's a gangbanger tag or a beautiful mural outside on that fence, it's still going to spark emotion more than that fence ever did before. You know, if it was done legally, illegally, no matter what, that you never felt for that fence that was across the street in your alley. But yet, like, one day some kid illegally goes out there and tags it, and you're pissed. This is my fence. I'm angry. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and then, okay, whatever. It's a feeling. Another reason, oh, cool, you commission an artist to, like, paint a beautiful mirror. Now you're like, yes, this is my fence. Look at the art that I have, you know? And
I love that. I love that artists imbue meaning into these inanimate objects.
Oh, and it's something that we forget about so much unless it's like, this is ours. You know, besides that, it's like, okay, that's just a thing that's either a barrier or it's something that's like in my everyday thing that I don't care about. And then once something illegally is done or legally, you know, it just sparks... Yeah, something. I don't fucking know what it is, but it's just something more than that every day. Okay, this is what it's supposed to be. You know, I go to work, I have to come home, nothing else changes my peripheral because, like, I'm stuck in this, like, routine and this loop. But yet, I do a big-ass fat can tag on this abandoned building that you never cared about, right? And it's been sitting there vacant for years. You're gonna be pissed, right? But then I do fucking a bunch of little bunnies hanging out and jumping around, still illegally on the building. You're gonna be like, wow, look at that, honey. Look at what they did there, you know? So it's just so funny to me that there's that, like, little, like, seesaw in everyone's head. But to me, it's, like, all the same, you know? Like, you got, like, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, that building's never going to be there anymore. It's going to get bulldozed, or it's going to be forgotten about, or a high-rise is going to be built. Maybe, hopefully, I could do, like, something there that's either going to piss you off, make you excited, or just do something differently than you ever thought about that building before.
Now, you've traveled a lot. I mean, obviously, we're not in L.A., and I want to know why and how you got to Chicago. But after leaving Los Angeles, where did you go?
Oh, man. I've been so the West Coast was, like, the beginning. Like, I haven't been in Los Angeles forever. I love it as, like, where I started in inspiration. But, like, I haven't been back in a while, so I'm not really a part of Los Angeles culture anymore. A lot of people don't even think I'm from Los Angeles. A lot of people think I'm from New Orleans, but because I lived in New Orleans, I mean, I lived in Los Angeles, sorry. When I was about 17, 18, me and my buddy moved up to Portland, Oregon. My parents split up when I was young, so I always had Los Angeles and pretty much Portland, Oregon on, like, a basis to go back and forth on. In between all those times, I've lived from San Diego all the way to Seattle, spent about 2.5 years living in Oakland, California. One of my biggest inspirations for what I do every single day is this writer named Animal. One of my crazy, crazy friends, roommates, everything. I lived with him in Oakland for a while.
And of course, they have a great writing community and scene.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so close. And everyone's really friendly. And it's kind of like if you have beef, it's like, okay, like, you're going to fight right now, or we're going to, like, shake hands. You know, and, like, coming from Los Angeles, where it's like, oh, we all hate each other and we're just going to hang out in our own groups. Like, moving around has been why I think my style and what I do is, like, what I do. I think, yeah, moving is the most important thing. I'm never too trapped in a society where I'm like, oh, I've killed it. I've been playing in here for 10 years. So I'm the shit, you know? It's like, everything gets buffed. And if it doesn't get buffed, then sick. You can remember that one spot, but it's not something to, like, really, like, walk around and, like, use.
That's my wall.
People. Yeah. So it's like, moving is really, like, kind of, in a sense, past, like, bring me so much information and showing me so much about the world. It's also, like, kind of humbled me out. Because, like, everywhere where I go, I'm kind of like, okay, I can't be here anymore because, like, I've already done too much. I get paranoid, or, like, all other situations. And, yeah, just hopping around, man. Through in the beginning, it was kind of just, like, a push to get the fuck out. Like, just trapped in a place that I didn't want to be. And then as time goes, everywhere you go, it kind of just turns into that.
Well, what brought you to Chicago?
Actually, my partner that I'm with right now is an awesome acrobatic contortion person, and also, like, she went to school to be a part of, like, a circus troupe.
Uh-huh.
I was, like, dying in New Orleans. So when I left Oakland, California, I was like, okay, I'm gonna move to New Orleans. That place is, like, it looks like it's abandoned. I can either move to, like, Detroit or New Orleans. And I was like, Detroit's already been painted a bunch. Let's move to NOLA. So I moved to NOLA, fell in love with New Orleans.
Because you're looking at the public space as a canvas.
Totally. Like, everywhere I've gone is, like, how can I, like, paint? Like, what can I paint? You know, I'm like, if I've already been to jail for this a bunch. I know what pisses people off. I'm not going to scribe on people's businesses just to get my name up. But I also feel like I can alter my, like, surroundings by, like, painting. And if I'm not hurting someone, then I can benefit because my graffiti is going to rock and they're going to be stoked. And then I'm going to be stoked. And there's this, like, kind of weird alliance. So after I left Oakland, I was just like, okay, the city's changing. This is back in, like, 2013, too. And I was like, the city's changing. It's really weird. Like, it's not the same anymore. It's not, like, abandoned. There's not a bunch of things going, like, under business. Like, I can't paint. So I was like, where else could I go? And I was like, let's go to New Orleans. Moved to New Orleans, and when I fell in love, man. Like, but past falling in love, it made me an alcoholic and determined just to I don't know, get fucked up. I fell in love with the city. It gave me so much of a sense of like what real life is. Like, I lived in the West Coast and everyone's cocky and thinks they're so cool. When I moved to New Orleans, I was like, what the hell? Like, it's fucking 90 degrees out and it feels like 120. It's hot as fuck. Baby, we here doing the same thing. Why we gotta be mad at each other, you know?
Like, there is also a bit of a different sense of history, it seems, in New Orleans. I feel like, you know, and I've heard Miami described this way, but I feel like New Orleans is also just the North Caribbean in some ways, too. You know, that it feels like an extension of, you know, yes, it is America, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And it is also this, you know, real port to rest of the world, the transatlantic, the Caribbean, all these different things are happening in New
Orleans. It's pirate town. It's always been pirate town. You know, since any of us can even remember, that's like the port, it's pirate town, you know, like, and it will always be that past like all the other culture and everything that's like been a part of New Orleans. It's just so ripe with history and culture, and everyone out there, doesn't matter where you're from, we're fucking NOLA and we're having a good time and we're out, and whoever you are, whoever they are, like, let's come together, party. And one of my favorite things about NOLA is everyone brushes shoulders at one point because it's such a small community. So you can be having the best time of your life, you know, and hanging out, and there's people behind you and you don't even know, and you're bumping into people. And then 6 months comes down the line and you're signing big like commission deals with some dude, and you're relating on that one party that you guys are like buck wild at. And you're like, yo, you were there, I was there. And like, just that whole sense of community was like so different for me. I didn't really understand it where I came from Los Angeles and traveled the West Coast. And it was just kind of like, fuck everyone besides like my team, you know, and like, my team is Charles, and it's a small little clique. And when I moved to New Orleans, it was kind of just like, oh, what? Like, the only way that my team's going to get better is if I work with everyone. And that city really showed me that. Mm. And the hardest part about that city, though, is like, it's, once again, pirate town. So it's like fueled by, it's adult Disneyland. You know, if you go down to the French Quarter, people travel to NOLA to get fucked up, you know, 24/7, booze, all that. For a younger graffiti writer that's got a lot of depression and anxiety, it was a great dangerous place to get fucked up at, you know. And then that's just the best place to paint, get trash, go do like a throwy downtown, you know. And then like, what, it rocks, like it's not gonna get buffed like next day. So like, that city taught me a lot. But like, as time went by, I was like, that's when I first sold my first canvas for like $300. I was like, oh man, I could like do this. Like, I was working at the fucking Superdome, like dying. I was doing a bar backing on the outside. So you have to wear like all black, like pants and like a long sleeve t-shirt during the summer, pushing like 300 pounds of like alcohol up and downstairs. But I was dying out there, and I was just like, okay, like I sold my first thing of art, and like a couple months went by, and I was like, as a year I've been making money, I've made probably like $5,000 off of art, like fuck it, I'm gonna move back to California and like tell myself I'm an artist, you know. Moved to San Diego, lived in a warehouse. I didn't have a bathroom in there, so we stole an RV from the desert. I bought new tires and put them on the RV. It was just like an abandoned RV that we found in the desert. I put new brand new tires on it and then like rented a U-Haul, and then we dragged it about like 40 miles on the freeway with like my friend in like a truck behind us, making sure we didn't get pulled over. Like, pieces of the RV are like flying everywhere and shit. And I like lived in it was like, that was our bathroom and our kitchen in this 3,000 square foot warehouse.
Wow.
And it was terrible, man. It was one of the worst.
Doesn't sound outstanding.
But it was, as looking back on it, because every day I woke up in this fucking microwave box. It was either super hot or super cold because it was all tin. And I was like, okay, I have to make art. Like, I'm here to be an artist. Like, this is what has to happen. And I tried to be an artist in San Diego. So many things like fucked me over. I'm not even gonna get into it, you know, because I was like cutting my hair back, trying to look all fancy and shit, and like trying to be nice and like working with these people and like being there for like a year and a half. And then finally like all this gnarly shit happened to me, and I was like, all right, fuck this. If I'm ever gonna be an artist, I don't have to like look like one or act like one. I'm just gonna do me, and I'm bummed the fuck out right now, and I'm moving back to New Orleans to kill myself. I'm about to be 27 and I want to join the 27 club and I'm going to move back to New Orleans and die in an alcoholic rage. And that's what's going to happen. So I moved back to NOLA with my buddy. We threw everything in this like little tiny like Volkswagen, like a hatchback. And like, it was me and my like awesome buddy, Carl Jungle. Check him out if you can. Awesome ass like artist, MC, musician. Me and him like moved back to NOLA, didn't know what we were doing, lived out there for like a year and a half, and I bucket listed everything I could because I was like, I'm going to die, you know? So I was like doing freeway signs, like walkouts, like doing anything I could, like tagging in front of like cop stations, like didn't care because I was like, okay, I got a couple months left. Like, let's see what this happens, you know? Like kept going, hurting myself, probably lost like 30 pounds, just like partying all the time, waking up like dying every day. And then I turned 27.
Yeah.
And then I didn't die.
Oh, you thought like on the day of?
Or like I rocked it still for like a year, but like already at that point I was like getting sluggish, like fuck, it didn't happen yet. Like, what am I gonna do, you know? And then it just kept going. And then, but like through all this too, like that's like when a lot more of my work started getting more appreciated, you know, because people are like, oh wow, like look at what this guy's doing. Like, oh, wow, look at these pictures that he's painting. And
well, it sounds like you also really applied yourself, too, and were creating without a sense of fear.
Yeah. That's, like, the only thing I have is creating. You know, like, otherwise, like, everything else sucks. And if, like, I can't make shit, then, like, why am I here?
Yeah.
So I have to, like, be able to produce. And, like, being in NOLA and, like, telling myself I'm going to die and everything, I was like, I have to be remembered. I can't just, like, die like another idiot. Like, I got to make sure my name is here, like, somehow, you know? And through all that, getting little side jobs and things like that, and, like, doing all these projects where people are like, oh, dude, you're pretty good. Like, you should keep doing this. And I'm like, sick, yeah, give me, like, $4,000. Let's rock it, you know, and, like, do it and then, like, spend it all on, like, booze and drugs and shit. And then, like, 2 months would go by and be like, oh, fuck, I can't pay rent. Like, I got to go, like, do an art show or something, you know? And it was just always nonstop. And then I met this person. She's like, you're an idiot. Like, but I think you're kind of cute. Like, let's hang out. And then she kind of brought me out of this depression. And time went by. I was like, yo, you want to move to Chicago? And I was like, no, I hate that city. It's cold and they don't like dogs. Like, that's what I thought when I... Like, I came out here like 4 or 5 years ago, like traveling. And it was the middle of the winter. And I was like with my dog and like... No one could, like, everywhere, all the homies that I, like, met are, like, they're, like, yeah, dude, like, you can come stay, but, like, your dog can't. We live on, like, the 50th floor of this high-rise and, like, all these problems. So, like, when she told me, like, yo, you want to move to Chicago? I was, like, fuck no. Like, I still have my big dog, Frank Dog, like, Frank Ferdinand, my dude, good guy. He's been on a lot of travels with me, still here. But I was, like, fuck it, whatever. I haven't died yet. Like, maybe I should just get out of here because I'm... 28 now, like, still not dead, and I'm just drinking every day and partying like I'm trying to kill myself. So, like, let's move out. And
I'm glad you made that choice.
I mean,
for a lot of reasons. One, I want you to stay alive for a very long time because I'm a fan. But also, in what, I mean, because how long have you been in Chicago now?
It's been almost a year.
So in a short period of time, you've also really made a mark, literally, and also, you know, in the larger writing and art community. You've people know who you are.
And I'm hyped and ashamed the same way. I it's something that it's gonna happen no matter where I go because it's like the only therapy I have. So like to give something back is great, but like also it's like something that I have to do. So like it's just like when I was in a little kid and I was getting in trouble for this, like I'd always like freak out after I painted something because I'd be like, oh man, they're gonna raid my house like they did before. Oh, this is gonna happen. So like that is always on the back of my head. And like even coming here was like a huge thing for me. I was like, oh my god, it's all a trap. This is all gonna be bad. But thank you. Like, I'm stoked. I'm super hyped to be in Chicago. It's changed my mind around. People, like, appreciate my work. It makes me feel better about myself. It makes me want to create more. All the opportunities and the people that I've met here have been so amazing. I never thought a year ago when I was like, Chicago sucks, it's cold, and they don't like dogs, that I would ever be in a position where I'm at now.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a good community of artists, and especially right now. And I know, you know, there has been a really nice community here that's embraced you. Do you have stuff coming up that people could see that's not just, I mean, you could point people to the direction of stuff on the street. I just saw a really beautiful mural that you and Merlot did recently. You did like a, I think, is it the shark?
It was a little shark
piece.
Yeah, love that piece.
I don't even really know where it is.
Yeah, that's over, I don't even know what street it's on, but it's like off of Willow, and it's east of Elston. That's all I could say about it.
Okay, yeah, if you know more direct, like pinpoint people, like if people want to see my work, like please get out there. I also like to keep it a little secret, so like if you see it, you know, flick it, but like, on my social media page, I've been like not working and showing that because it brings me back to like what graffiti was originally to me. I'm trying to keep little things a little bit secret and like make them like, oh, this, I just saw this for the first time.
Right.
Instead of being like, oh yeah, I already knew it was going to be there. I've seen it on my phone. It's all right. But like actually, it's kind of sloppy. It looked a lot better online. You know, like I want people to be like, wow, look at that. It's sloppy. It looks good. You know, for the first time.
Where can people follow you on social media?
It's charles.utero, so U-T-E-R-O, the third. Oh, there's another dot after Utero. So charles.utero dot T-H-E-3-R-D. Charles Utero the third. That's me.
Yeah, and we'll put it out once we put the episode out.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do another 3 hours, and I would like to.
Totally.
Because you are also, you know, one of a number of people, but who go back and forth between the practice of the street and the practice of the studio. And the studio work I've seen of yours, I really enjoy a lot.
Thank you.
Are there spaces coming up in the future where people could?
Yes, totally. So I'm about to have a show in the middle of like August. It's going to be my first show in Chicago. I have a big warehouse that I've already painted the inside of. It's 3,000 square feet. I painted the whole thing with fire extinguishers and spray paint. I'm trying to showcase a little bit of something that like what Chicago's like made me feel. It's going to be all part of the Beeline. It's a little bit off, so it's a little off section. And there's a big warehouse out there. If you want to see some of my work already on the streets, you can check out the Beeline. I just painted a mural with my buddy Izrek from Los Angeles literally last night on Elizabeth and Hubbard is the street. So Hubbard is a lot of like murals that have been working coincide with the Beeline lately. They've been awesome with me. And
when is the warehouse show?
It's gonna be like middle of September. I don't really know the exact date yet. Then also I'm trying to keep these things like a little bit, I don't know, who cares? I wish I could tell you the right date.
We'll let people know, but I'm really excited for that. I'm really glad that you are alive and
in Chicago,
and look forward to all that you will continue to create in the city.
Yeah, thanks for letting me rant.
So no, appreciate you. Thanks for being
here. I was just spilling things out. It was fun.
It was great. We want to thank our super producer, DJ Cashera.
WDN boss man, Todd Manley.
Shout out Ernie the engineer.
And of course, Max the snack tour.
All day. On IG and Twitter, we are
Cornerstore_pod.
Please, y'all, rate and subscribe on iTunes. Tell someone to listen to The Corner Store. And if you wish, you could also tell us who we should have on The Corner Store.
Yeah, just, you know, slide in our DMs.
They're open.
A great way to support us is through our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod. And you can, you know, support us in our future endeavors and, you know, get some benefits along the way. And
it's like a little change jar, like in front,
little,
like at the corner
jar,
store.
Right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. If you listen, please support, and we really appreciate your support.
Thanks.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.